Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is a global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery. This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by one of the nation's great leaders, who's also one of the great healthcare leaders in our country, Lloyd Dean. Lloyd is the Chief Executive Officer of Common Spirit Health. Common Spirit Health is really the largest not-for-profit health system in the country, side-by-side with Kaiser Permanente, but Kaiser's more of an insurance as well as health system. Common Spirit's really the single largest not-for-profit faith-based system in the United States. Lloyd, can you take one moment to introduce yourself? Then I want to get some of your thoughts on COVID-19 across your system. You're also working on a federal and a state level with government, and get some of your thoughts about that. Take a moment and introduce yourself.
Yes, I'm Lloyd Dean, as was said, the Chief Executive Officer of Common Spirit Health.
And Lloyd, give us a sense, just a quick moment for people, 30 seconds on the breadth of Common Spirit Health, so people get a sense of it that aren't that familiar.
Yeah, Common Spirit Health is one of the nation's largest not-for-profit faith-based ministries. We are a Catholic healthcare. We are one of the most significant footprints in healthcare today. We operate in more than 21 states. We have approximately 140,000 members of the Common Spirit family. And we are strategically positioned so that we have the potential to serve one out of every four individuals in this country.
So with that footprint, and that's one of the reasons why it's such a pleasure to speak to you today, with that footprint, give us a sense of what you're seeing across the Common Spirit nation, the Common Spirit universe, in terms of COVID-19.
Yeah, and you know, and we're seeing a variety, if you will, of pictures. Obviously, in some of our urban areas, we have experienced and are still experiencing and seeing some very large numbers in terms of positive individuals presenting themselves. We have been in states where that have been deemed some of the hot spots, Washington, where a lot of this started, California. We're now seeing things in Nevada, in Arizona. So we're seeing a variety as it relates to the quantitative side. But many similarities exist in all of the, whether it's a rural or whether it's a large metropolitan area, in that as more testing is done, we're seeing higher numbers of positive cases. But we're also seeing some positive signs. In some of our geographies, we're seeing what people have referenced as a leveling off. You know, even one case is way too many, but we're seeing some leveling. But we have experienced the, you know, just the sad and unfortunate and catastrophic number of deaths as a result of this pandemic. And we're seeing many of the issues that folks are hearing about. We're living those in terms of the challenges of PPE and, most importantly, the safety and well-being of our caregivers and our first responders.
And Lloyd, there's no one in the world that I know that transcends worlds better than you do. Whether rich or poor, black or white, whatever anybody is, of any sort, whatever label you put on them, you are able to understand and empathize with really everybody. It's really an amazing quality. What is your sense of what this looks like over the next 12 to 24 months? any sense from you.
Yeah, and that's something that I give a lot of thought to, and I lay in bed at night worrying and thinking about what else we can do, what should we be doing as a nation, and what can I do to help move this nation through this. And a couple things come to mind. Number one, it's just been so disheartening and heartbreaking to see that people of color and African Americans in particular have been experiencing this unfortunate virus in a disproportional way. When you look at those who are unfortunately not surviving this, yes, you're seeing the elders or that profile as people called out earlier, but we're just learning more in experiencing that there are certain particular groups and certain particular geographies that are having unusual amounts of their community members succumbing to this virus. But we're also seeing some heroic and unprecedented cooperation between members of communities reaching out, whether it's food banks, reaching out to the most vulnerable. We're seeing caregivers who are putting their lives and the lives of their family at risk, getting up every day, going into the battle against this virus. I worry a great deal about what's going to happen in the next few months as we enter the flu season, and if there is not and likely not to be a vaccination in place, while there's great efforts being made to secure one, what is that going to mean, not just for the most vulnerable, but what is that going to mean for our nation, for our healthcare capacity? So I'm concerned. I'm happy in a way that in a very methodical, statistical, data-based way, we are seeing some purposeful and thoughtful reopening of communities, and we must do this in a right way, and we must do this to ensure that we won't find ourselves in a position where we have to shut down things again, because I'm not sure that our nation and our system will be able to rebound, and certainly the healthcare infrastructure, if we have to go through this again in a multiple of what we've just experienced.
No, 100%. And that would be an utter disaster if we have to. When you deal with whether it's Gavin Newsom or President Trump, either team, give us any insight you can that you're free to share on dealing with these different teams and different leaders.
Well, I think our messages and the voice that I try to bring to the table is one, as a provider, but also as a father, a husband, a community member, and of a person that is concerned about the economic strength and welfare of our nation. So, you know, what I'm seeing is a focus on the importance of federal and state support to the communities, and certainly a great deal of thanks to all who were involved in securing and implementation of the CARES Act. We have received some of those funds and also the advance payment from Medicare, and we appreciate the intervention and the coordination between the federal government and state governments, although we know that that has to continue and we need more of that. Our hospitals that are serving a disproportionate number of Medicaid and Medi-Cal patients will continue to need the support of the state and of the federal government. I've also seen a great deal of focus on the economic recovery, because when we look at the unemployment numbers and they see that day after day, and we where, you know, it is now to the right of 30 million in order to get back to a healthy community and to get people back where they have control of our lives, that is something that needs to be addressed. But again, we don't want to see, and there's lots of discussion about what's the pace that we should open and not opening too quickly so that we don't have a recurrence. Testing, testing, testing. We need more urgent testing, and we're talking about that, and how does that happen? Whose responsibility is that? And then continuing to be the elephant in the room is supplies and equipment that we refer to as PPE. And this is not just related to the healthcare sector, but now as other sectors of our society, other business sectors, retail, housing, all begin on this journey of reopening, we know that they are going to need and must have PPE equipment and masking and required masking, gloves. So it used to be early on, it was a nation versus nation in the acquisition. Then it became the national level versus the state, and then state versus state. But now we have added many new players in that search for PPE equipment. And we are deeply concerned that we have those supplies and that we can help folks get those in their hands to protect our citizens and to protect all of our elements of employees and workers.
Well, you just touched on something, which is this fight over resources and so forth. You know, if you watch the news, and really regardless of which news you watch, it seems like we've got this great fight between the states and the federal government, like we've not seen since either the Civil Rights Act or the Civil War and so forth. Is it really that bad between the state and the federal? You intersect with everyone. Just 30 seconds on that. Is it bad as it sounds on the news, or is it, you know, or is it overplayed? What's your sense?
You know, it's not in, I think there is a consensus of the what in the need. But I think the issue and what we've seen play out in, around the world and certainly in the United States is where is the accountability and where is an organized architecture for how we ensure that the federal and the states will work together with the counties and the cities and the mayors and the governors to ensure a adequate distribution. I don't think, you know, the battle is over what is the right thing to do, but the how. And I do think that we got caught off guard here in terms of the capacity of the federal system to meet the extent of a pandemic. And I think that caused some delays, that caused the states to look to the federal government after exhausting their supplies and their resources, thinking that the federal supplies would augment that. So I think it's not, you know, an issue of everybody being in the right frame of mind and wanting supplies to get out there. But I do think that there are serious lessons learned here about capacity, about storage, about distribution, about already having in place clear lines of accountability, clear distribution methodologies, and ensuring that we have access not only on an international front, but that we have adequate capabilities within the country, because many parts of the world were tapping into the same source, which became exhausted for its own challenges. So that is how I would frame the issue. I'm going to stay void of, you know, the right and wrong, but what needs to be done. But there are lessons for all of us. There's lessons for us in healthcare to not be depending on that. You know, we have a responsibility, and we know now to have excess beyond our own capability supplies, and that just moves up to counties, up to regions, up to states, and the responsibility of the federal government.
No, thank you. So more and more figuring out how to access and how to access more testing, more PPE, more ventilators, more of the reagents, more of everything that goes into this, and clearer lines on how that's going to be done in the future, and clearer leadership probably as well. Lloyd, I wanted to give you one more shot just to take a chance to give a shout out to your team. You've got a magnificent and splendid several hundred thousand people that ultimately report on up to you and work side by side with you in your system. Just a moment on the amazing Common Spirit team.
I would say that, and I say this every day, I am in awe of the fortitude, the commitment, the dedication, the strength of our frontline caregivers and all associated with our organization. I am grateful for their heroic efforts, the kindness that they have shown, the sacrifices that they have made, and humbled by the strength, because they have endured all of the challenges that we've all read about and seen in the media, in terms of being, in many cases, the last one to see some families, loved ones alive, and to be there with them, and to put one's life on the line, and knowing that you have a family to go home to, that no matter what we do, there is some potential risk. And even though they have done that day after day pre the pandemic, the level of sacrifice, I am just in awe of, and blessed and proud to call them members of the Common Spirit Health family. And I pray every night for their safety and for their health. And on behalf of our board, on behalf of myself, in the best command of the English language that I have, say thank you to each and every one of you. Thank you to your families who go hand in hand with you as you serve this country, and as you serve communities, and as you support families and help heal as we go through one of the most significant times in modern history. And to call you a member of Common Spirit Health is truly a cherished opportunity for me.
Well, thank you, Lloyd. There's no more intelligent and compassionate leader than yourself, Lloyd. And we appreciate you and touch you being on today. We appreciate it so much. Thank you for joining us.
And thanks for this opportunity.
Thank you very much for listening today. This podcast was brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is the global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery.